We're going to talk about something today that I bet we've all experienced at one time or another, or if you haven't yet, at some point you will. So I'll start with a story. When I received my calling to preach, I had been in vocational ministry for quite a few years already. I was a music minister full-time. And while I was familiar with the dynamics of serving in churches, the calling to preach is a different kind of burden. So when I surrendered to that call, I also felt led of the Lord to move out of vocational ministry for a season. I needed to learn and grow in this new calling before making myself available to serve a congregation. So we moved from Birmingham to Nashville, Tennessee, nearer to our family in order to study, to grow, and to wait. And boy, it seemed like a long wait. But after a few years, around the beginning of 2018, I sensed the Lord releasing me from my holding pattern and leading me to seek out a place of ministry. And that process also took a good amount of time. But during the summer of that year, I happened upon an opportunity that I somehow just knew was what the Lord had for me. I was a new preacher, so I didn't anticipate that I would be called to serve as a pastor right away. I was looking into associate positions, particularly associated with music ministry, where I could be useful while also growing in a pastoral role. And a Baptist church in Sweetwater, Tennessee, was looking for a minister of music. Now, Sweetwater is a little town southwest of Knoxville. It's where my brother lived with his family until he died, and his family still lived there at the time. So in my heart, I just knew that God was leading me there. I could serve a church there, grow in my calling, and also be available for my nieces and nephew who were quickly growing up without a father around. The church reached out to me, to my references, and ultimately invited me to come visit and interview. So it seemed inevitable to me that this is where the Lord was leading me. And yet when we arrived, without going into a lot of details, let's just suffice to say that God made it no mystery that He was closing that door. I would not be going to Sweetwater. Truth be told, it was evident to me there that I didn't even want to go there anymore. But just in case I didn't get the point, God really shut the door hard, because like a week or two later, that pastor resigned, so they suspended their search. There was no longer an opening. I knew I didn't want to go there. I knew it wasn't the place. God had confirmed that. But still, I felt deflated, defeated, and confused. I mean, how could I have been so certain about something that turned out to be so wrong? Have you ever experienced anything like that? Have you ever felt certain that God was leading you in a certain direction or directing you to a certain opportunity? And then have you ever felt so certain about something and then all of a sudden, for reasons you can't understand, the door that you'd been anticipating just slams shut? How do we deal with that? What do you do when God closes a door? Why does God sometimes close doors? Even when the opportunity that you seek is good and righteous and could be of benefit to someone, how do we reconcile the idea that we should seek to be in ministry wherever we can with the reality that sometimes we just can't do the things we desire to do or go the places we desire to go? Paul and his company had to wrestle with this question in our passage for today. And so I believe that as we examine the scripture together, the Lord may answer some of our questions. More than that, though, the Word of God will renew our confidence that even when we don't understand, we can trust that God knows what He's doing. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. When God closes a door, we can trust that there's a reason and that there's a better door about to open. So let's turn together to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. We'll read together verses 6 through 15. While you're turning, I would ask that as you're able, will you stand out of reverence for the reading of the Word of God? Again, this is Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and through the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Let's pray. Almighty Father God, we thank you for your word. We know that your word is perfect, is eternal, is timeless and full of truth. So Lord, by your truth, sanctify us. Lord, teach us. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. But Lord, by your Spirit, do all that we may be built up and conformed more to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be like him. And Lord, if there be any here who do not yet know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, may you draw them to respond to the gospel today in such a way that they may surrender and be saved by your marvelous grace. Lord, for your honor and for your glory, we pray these things together. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, a little geographical background can help us to make sense of what's going on in this passage. Sometimes we envision Paul as traveling somewhat randomly, but we need to remember that part of the legacy of the Roman Empire was the complex and advanced system of roads built throughout the empire's lands. In fact, as many miles of road as comprise our U.S. interstate highway system, it's estimated that the Romans built more miles of roads. These roads created a significant travel and trade route, which Paul likely traveled. So we're going to look here for a minute. I'll try not to get in the way of the projector. Y'all didn't know it was going to be a multimedia lecture today, did you? So they left Antioch, and you see the first thing they did was went to Tarsus, Paul's hometown, where probably he likely began a church or two while he was there before he was ever called to Antioch by Barnabas. So on his second, this is their second journey, by the way, they go north and then west over to Tarsus, and then they head north through here into Cappadocia. This is the area known as the Cilician Gates. The Cilician Gates open from the region of Cilicia into Cappadocia. And so our scripture starts with them doing here and then taking this east-westward road through Phrygia and Galatia. So when it says that when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, we know that they were traveling west through these cities that we saw that they came to. And then they come back to Antioch of Pisidia. And here's where it's odd. You know, if we're going to start a trip, sometimes, normally, common sense tells us we have two options. If we want to continue sightseeing or touring, we just stay on the road we've been on, right? Or maybe we want to take the scenic route but head home, so we'll kind of circle back. Well, they were heading east and west, and if they continued going east and west, they would have gone by Colossae and Ephesus in this region of Asia. But the scripture tells us that the Spirit forbade them to go into Asia. They wanted to just continue on the road they were on. They wanted to just keep going, keep hoeing the same road. But the Spirit forbade them. So instead, they turned northward. And as they were coming into Mysia, scripture tells us that he wanted to go into Bithynia. So he wanted to take this northward turn here. Also would have made sense, because if he turned northward, he could have gone into Bithynia and Pontus, back through Galatia, and made a circle back toward home. Those are the two options we normally do. Those are common sense. But instead, the Spirit forbade him to go into Bithynia also. So with those things in mind, hopefully that visual helps a little bit. I know it's difficult to picture all this without a map, so I hope that this was helpful. And it's also difficult to picture because these are Roman province names that are no longer common use. The important thing to note here is that the intentions of the team to go into either Asia or Bithynia were not random choices. These were common sense decisions, the same kinds of decisions that we would make were we on that journey today. One route would continue the road they were traveling, or the other would allow a circular route back toward home. Neither was out of the way. And then both choices would allow Paul and his team to reach people who had yet to hear the gospel. Both included souls that needed to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Both would allow Paul to fulfill his role as apostle to the Gentiles, and further would be in accordance with the Great Commission to go to the ends of the earth. So why were they not allowed to go? This seems odd when we read it, doesn't it? I mean, why would the Holy Spirit forbid anyone from preaching the Word of God anywhere? Especially when it would be convenient. I mean, given the path they're traveling, it seems only natural to feel that the doors of opportunity are open to go either into Asia or into Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit forbade them. He forbade them. He would not allow it. Instead, we're told they continued their northwestern route through Mysia until they came to the coastal city over there of Troas. Now, don't get lost in the names of towns. This is one many of you have heard of. This is the ancient city of Troy. It was here in Troy, or Troas, that they learned why they could not go into Asia or Bithynia. See, while they were there, Paul received a vision in the night of a man of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is northern Greece, you can see up there. It's just across the sea from Troas. And the man was pleading, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, Paul recognizes this vision as a calling from God, and they begin immediately preparing to sail to Macedonia. So leaving Troas, they sail to Samothrace, which is just a little Greek island there. You can see the red line goes right through an island. That would be Samothrace. And from there, they sail to Neapolis, which is the coastal. It's basically the landing point that red line hits when it hits land, and Philippi is inland a little bit. So they get to Neapolis, and they travel by foot to Philippi, and that's the principal city in that part of the country. And we're aware of what happened. On the Sabbath, Paul followed his usual custom and went to the synagogue. Now, the Bible doesn't mention a synagogue. We're told that they went out of the city to the river. But Jews at that time would build their synagogues near water in order to conduct their ritual washings. Now, in reality, we don't have enough information. It may be that the synagogue was in progress, or it may be that there weren't enough members of the Jewish community to even build a synagogue, because they had minimum guidelines for that. But nonetheless, even if there were no synagogue, there was a designated place for prayer and worship for those who were practicing Jewish faith, and that's where Paul and his team went. So there they spoke with the women, and they met one named Lydia. The Bible says that God had prepared her heart to hear and heed the gospel. Now, there's a lesson in that also. God prepares the hearts of those who he wants us to preach to. Amen. She and her household believed, and were baptized. And in gratitude for their work for the Lord, Lydia opened her home to the missionaries and begged them to stay with her. It's a great story. But I think we need to look a little deeper at the consequences here. See, Paul and his team, even in the midst of their ardent desire to be in ministry, had been forbidden to go to certain places. Doors had been shut to them by the Holy Spirit. Now, this may seem new to some of us, because we think of the devil as the one who hinders our ministry, not the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit hinder any work of ministry? Now, see, they could have been stubborn and forced their way to do what they desired to do, but instead, they followed the leading of the Spirit. And so let's think about some things that happened. First, in verse 10, the pronouns change for the first time. Up till now, the missionary journey had been narrated in third person. They went. They went. But here, the author, Luke, says that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. In verse 11, he says, we sailed. It's evident that Luke was in Troas, and Paul met him there. Luke joined the team in Troas. This was a divine encounter because much of the book of Acts could not have been written had Luke not joined the team. He traveled with Paul and received firsthand accounts of his journeys up to this point, and he personally witnessed many of the adventures hereafter. And it's possible that through Paul, Luke made connections with the other apostles that allowed him to learn the details that we have recorded in the first few chapters before we ever meet Paul. See, though Paul and his team may not have known or understood at the time why they couldn't go to Asia or Bithynia, the Lord needed Paul, Silas, Timothy, and his company to go to Troas so that they could join up with Luke. Because the Lord knew he would use Luke to give us this part of the Holy Scripture. It was part of God's plan. A second thing we need to note is that ministry, no matter where it takes place, no matter what we do, it's worth all of the effort involved if only one soul comes to salvation through the Lord. You can't put a price tag on a soul. In fact, the scripture tells us that when one sinner is saved, the angels of heaven rejoice. Souls are precious to the Lord. So ministry is worth all the effort if only one soul comes to salvation. And in Philippi, Lydia and her household were all saved and baptized. Because of that, it was worth it to skip Asia and Bithynia and go to Philippi. But the third thing we notice is that Lydia's resulting hospitality allowed Paul and his team to set up a base of operations for a time. See, it was likely during this time that the church in Philippi was established. And that church needed to be established for their sakes, but also for ours, because this is the church to whom Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians that is preserved for us today. A fourth thing. Lydia was from Thyatira. And the Bible says she was a seller of purple. Now, because this was a rare and expensive dye, this indicates that Lydia was probably a woman of means and influence. And it's likely that because of her influence, either she or some in her family returned home to Thyatira and were instrumental in planting a church there. How do I know? Because the church in Thyatira is one of those mentioned in Revelation. And the fifth thing to notice is that one open door leads to another. Had Paul and his team not been obedient to come to Macedonia, they likely would not have had the occasion to visit other cities in the region where churches were planted by them. Cities like Thessalonica and Corinth that you see on the path there. Had those churches not been planted, Paul would not have been able to write letters to them that make up a significant portion of our scriptures today. You see, God had greater plans in store than Paul or his team could possibly have imagined. Plans that go far beyond the salvation of one or two souls. Rather, these plans are how God intended to use Paul to continue to proclaim His truth throughout generations upon generations. To our knowledge, Paul never encountered the specific man of Macedonia that he saw in his vision. But we do know that countless souls were helped and rescued from sin and death, both in Macedonia and throughout history, because Paul was obedient to follow the calling that he received. We may be tempted to ask, well, what about those souls in Asia and Bithynia? Did God not care that they wouldn't hear the gospel? Well, certainly He cared. He had a plan for them also. And some of those plans included Paul, but not yet. Paul eventually made it to Asia. On circling back, he made it to Ephesus. And later, he came back and spent a lot of time there, and he corresponded with the church in Colossae. In the meantime, the way was prepared for him by another servant of God, Apollos, who worked in Ephesus and in Corinth. And then the Apostle John also was in Ephesus for some time after Paul. And others reached Bithynia also. In his first epistle, Peter greets the pilgrims in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and wouldn't you know it, Bithynia. Yes, God cared about the souls in those regions who needed to hear the gospel. And in His own time and in His own way, God provided messengers of the gospel to every region. Even though God closed the door to Paul for a time, He opened the door for others when the timing was right, according to God's plan. So what does all this have to do with us? I mean, what do we learn from this episode that helps us as we strive to be faithful in our service to the Lord? I mean, Scripture, if every word is inspired and profitable for us, then it can't be just a collection of stories that we read and go, well, that was an interesting tidbit from history. No, there's something that we learn from it. There's something that the Spirit uses it to teach us. And so here's what I'm learning from it. Friends, there are occasions in our lives as we're serving the Lord where our good intentions and our sincere desires may lead us toward opportunities that seem like common sense or just convenient. I talked about my desire in the past to serve that church in Sweetwater. I mean, that was born of a pure desire to serve a congregation of the Lord's people. And the circumstance just seemed favorable and mutually beneficial in several ways. It would be sensical, convenient, and also faithful service. But God closed the door. Sometimes God closes doors on opportunities that seem right to us. And maybe we don't always understand why. Sometimes that door is shut tightly and the opportunity's just gone. Now, those times are a little easier in some ways, but we have to be mindful not to become discouraged or to lose hope simply because we don't understand. God has His reasons, and He is trustworthy. Other times, the door is closed, but not tightly. The Spirit may inform us that this or that opportunity is not our chosen path, but if we're not listening, or if we're too driven by our flesh, then we may be able to push that door open and continue that path anyway. We need to be aware and wary of that also, because even if we find some measure of blessing or success in doing so, we may never know what we've missed by not waiting for the right opportunity ordained by God. Sometimes God closes doors. And often we won't understand or see why in the moment. But if we will be faithful to continue to trust the Lord, even when we don't understand, and that's when it gets hard, folks. That is when faith has to be in the driver's seat. If we'll continue to trust the Lord, even when we don't understand, then in time, He'll make it clear to us which path He wishes us to take. We may not know immediately. Paul didn't receive his Macedonian vision right away. He had to submit to the closed doors at Asia and Bithynia first before God would show him the door he'd already opened. But when we follow the Lord, when we are obedient to refrain where he closes the door, and also are obedient to go through the door he opens, even if it's a door we never intended to try, folks, we won't be able to count or measure the blessing God pours out or the impact he may allow us to have. Every mission, every ministry is worthwhile if it reaches someone with the truth of the gospel. That is absolutely true. But this is also true. Not every mission, not every ministry is what God has planned for you or for I or for our church to do. Hear that again. Not every mission, not every ministry is what God has planned for you, I, or for our church to do. Things may seem like good ideas, but we need to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes God closes doors. We have a chosen path. We have a path worked out for us by the Lord himself. And we may not see it clearly in the present, which is why we need to pay attention and remain faithful even when God closes a door. That may seem discouraging or disheartening for us, but it's for the best. God knows what he is doing. He knows what he has planned. I never went to serve in Sweetwater, and I'll admit that I was a little bummed, but I trusted that God was in it. And that was kind of a heroic effort, because I'm telling you, I was pretty bummed. If he had led me this far, though, then he would continue to lead me. So later in that same month during which that door was closed, while I was bummed, I received contact from a congregation in Dufuniac Springs, Florida. They were looking not only for a music minister, they were also seeking a man called by God and gifted to lead their worship while serving as an associate pastor and contributing to the preaching and teaching ministry of the church. If I'd gone to Sweetwater, I would not have had the opportunities I had in Florida to grow as a teacher and a preacher. God closed the door in Sweetwater because he knew that in Florida I would gain the experience needed to eventually come here to Hatfield. Now, maybe you thank the Lord for that, or maybe you blame the Lord for that, but either way, that's the way it is. Thank you, brother. Anyway, while there, we gained beautiful friendships and we made wonderful memories that we wouldn't trade for anything. And in the end, we are who we are and where we are today simply because God closed a door that at the time I really wanted to be opened. But God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. So, brothers and sisters, let's not be afraid to ask God to close doors that need to be closed. And let's not be discouraged when he does just that. Even if some of them are doors that we really wish would be opened. For those of us who belong to Christ, God knows the plans he has for us. Plans to prosper us and not to do us evil. We can trust him. This applies to the decisions and the opportunities that we have as a church, but it also applies to our personal lives, in our searches for marriage partners, for jobs, for career advancement opportunities, for educational opportunities, for major purchases, or for vacation dreams, whatever it may be. If you find yourself looking at a door that has been closed by the Lord, don't despair. Trust him all the more and keep following as he leads, because sooner or later, as you follow, he'll make clear to you the door that he is opening. And it'll be so much better for you, for your family, for your church. We may never know the depth or the length of the impact our faith to follow the Lord's plan may have. See, we can't see the corollary things that the Lord has in store, but He does. And He has it all in His control. He just asks that we trust and follow Him. Can you do that today? Here in just a few moments, we'll bring our service to a close. But as we do, are you facing a closed door right now in some area of your life and you're having a hard time understanding? Bring it to the Lord in prayer and ask for the faith to keep trusting. Or maybe you're pushing at that door, trying to force it open. Are you being led by the Lord to repent of that and to trust God to lead you to an even better door, even if you don't see it right now? Or friend, maybe you're here today and you're not yet saved. Have you tried door after door in life and keep finding them closed to you? Unable to find what you're looking for, what will give your life fulfillment. Or maybe you found success in life, but still you recognize that something is missing. There's something within you unfulfilled, somehow just out of reach. Is that you today? Friend, if it is, you need to know that God knows the plans He has for you too. And He has led you here today. Every closed door you have faced and every door you forced open only to find it doesn't lead to where you want to be, each one of those has led here to Jesus Christ. Has the Lord prepared your heart to receive the gospel today? That thing that you lack, that thing you desire, is a relationship with the God who created you. Sin has separated you from God. But not just you, all of us. Sin separated us all from God. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah tells us, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. But Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life of perfect obedience, and then died on a cross, all to save us from sin and to reconcile us to God. The Bible says that God made Him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That thing you lack, that thing you desire, is a relationship with God who created you, and Jesus Christ makes that relationship possible. See, that's the good news. You can have what you seek. You can have what your soul needs today. You can be reconciled to God through faith in Christ. Just repent of your obstinate search for meaning and reconciliation on your own terms and surrender to the mercy of God displayed in Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord. Seek Him. You're here today, and that is the door before you. And the good news is also that the gospel is a door that God will not close. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in John 6, Jesus promised to open the door, saying, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. When God closes doors in your life, His ultimate purpose is to bring you closer to Himself so that we trust Him and trust Him more. Whether we're saved or whether we're waiting to be saved, God's purpose is the same, to draw us closer to Himself. So will you draw near and seek Him today? As our music leaders come and we prepare to sing, let me encourage you to respond to this message however the Lord may lead you. Christian, I pray that you find encouragement in this truth. Wherever you are in your journey, continue to trust the Lord. Even when He closes doors, it's only to lead you to something better and to prompt you to trust Him all the more. But lost person, dear soul, the Lord gave His life for you. Perhaps He has closed doors in your life or allowed your yearnings to remain unfulfilled so that He could bring you to this place today with a heart prepared to receive the gospel message. There is a better door opened for you. Jesus said, "I am the door." He is the door to a relationship with God. And so long as He tarries His coming, He is a door that God will not close if you sincerely wish to go through it. Will you come to Him today? Will you seek the Lord while He may be found? Our altar is open if you need to come pray for any reason, or if you need to come in obedience to the Lord in any way. Just follow the Lord as He leads, but let's stand together for a word of prayer. And then we'll sing as we continue to meditate upon this truth. Almighty God, I give You thanks for Your plan. I give You thanks and praise that Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and Your ways are higher than our ways. And Lord, sometimes we don't understand the journey that we're on. But Lord, You have seen the end from the beginning. And we know that even when we make wrong decisions, You've seen that too. And You make all things work together for good to them that love You and are the called according to Your purpose. So, Lord, I pray that through this word of truth, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, would You draw us to trust You even more? Lord, would You lead us if we need to recommit ourselves to trust You however You may lead us? Lord, would You lead us to repent of the times that we've tried to push open doors and to force opportunities when we have not trusted You, but Lord, have rather tried to forge our own way. And Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, that You are dealing with, that You are calling to salvation, Lord, I thank You that You are a door that will not shut. And I pray that You would continue to lead them and bring them to a place where they will surrender and receive. Lord, I pray that You prepare their hearts to hear and to heed the gospel. Lord, may today be the day of salvation for some soul, either here, listening online, or just anywhere in the world. Lord, we know that any time a single sinner is saved, the heavens rejoice. Lord, let there be a party in heaven today as the gospel goes out and a soul somewhere is saved. But Lord, would You do it here? Lord, I know there's someone here that needs to know You as Savior, but only You can save. So, Lord, by Your mercy, bring them to Yourself. Bring them to that door and help them to surrender to come through it. Lord, help us to trust You even when You close doors and we don't understand, because we know that there's a better door You're wanting to open. Lord, help us to follow You for Your honor and for Your glory in all things. Because it's not about us. It's always about You, Jesus. Help us to live in that way, with that faith, with that trust, with that conviction, that we may live a life that uplifts and exalts the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.